54 million Hispanics in America, of which Mexican Americans are the biggest group.
The statistics, the numbers, are moving in the direction of this country being much more brown.
No matter what way you look at it, Mexican immigrants are changing the United States.
Tacos are the number one fast food in the country. Tortillas now outsell white bread, wheat bread, and bagels.
So, I know where they come from, but what's the Mexican-American experience once they're here?
Ever since I got to Arizona, people have been telling me that there's a huge difference between being Mexican and Mexican-American, and that it's an identity all upon itself. So, that's what I'm going to investigate. What does it mean to be Mexican-American in modern-day America?
It's like a third culture in the United States.
Switching from Spanish to English.
No me estás pagando, Ricardo.
In the same sentence.
Two languages, you know, more opportunities.
It's a source of pride. It really is pride and culture.
We get to enjoy the best of both worlds, in a sense.
This Sunday we will watch the Super Bowl, but maybe next Sunday we will watch a soccer game.
We completely take in the American culture when it comes to Thanksgiving, but for Christmas, that's designated as, you know, where our ancestors come from.
Yeah, this is what they call tacos dorados. It's ground beef patty folded in a corn tortilla, fried, deep fried.
Would you say it's Mexican American?
This is definitely Mexican American, yes.
Certain Mexican traditions are very strong in Mexican-American communities. One example of that is religion. Some churches have mariachi bands. Places like the San Javier del Bac behind me, which was founded in 1692, people often do the traditional Spanish manda.
It's like a little bit of tradition that we try to ask the saint to help us out with any problems that we have. We have walked 4 hours since 6 in the morning, so it's good.
How can we begin to explain what America means to us? Chicanos, Mexicanos, Hispanos. The names have all been changed across the century, but they all mean the same thing. They mean that we have been Americanos longer than America has existed.
So Mexican American, Chicano, Hispanic.
Chicana, Latina.
Latino.
Spanish. Mexican-American.
There's no such thing as a hyphenated American. You're either American or you're not.
There is that disconnect between the labels that the United States government gives to us and the labels that we ascribe to yourself. You know, Mexican-American, Chicano, we use it interchangeably.
Chicano is an offensive word to me.
People get insulted because it was a radical movement. It was a movement that said, we've had it.
There's nothing wrong with being a Mexican. I'm proud of it. I don't need this Chicano thing.
What does Chicano mean?
I'm not really sure what it means, but it's offensive to me. Okay? Mexican is not offensive.
But that's not the only thing the Mexican-American community doesn't agree on.
There are some that have become very conservative. They don't like undocumented people crossing the border.
Jim, who's the son of a Mexican mother and a Jewish Latvian father, says the media doesn't represent his type of view enough.
They say both Mexico and the United States are sovereign nations and should be respected as such. And the minute you take down that barrier, there is no more sovereign nation. They should have a quota, just like any other nation. You can't let everybody in at the same time. And they have people on access getting food stamps who live in Mexico. Is that right?
They don't realize that times have changed and circumstances have changed and policies have changed.
Those living without papers in the U.S., including this young student who didn't want to be identified, remain outsiders to the American experience.
I don't actually identify as Mexican-American, which is weird. You always have to remember that because of your situation, you have to work much harder than your neighbor in order to succeed in this life. Nothing is going to come easy to you because you will have many more obstacles than any other American.
OK,
Okay, so I'm just about to finish the edits of this film here, and at this point, it's clear there is no definitive guide to what it means to be Mexican-American. But, as the Hispanic population increases in the US, is a place like Tucson, with its 42% Hispanic population, a sign of a future America?
Hello, good afternoon, everybody. Today is Thursday, September 10th, 2020, and welcome to the Approach League podcast. I apologize about that. I kind of start. Sorry. Almost had another booby there. It's the joys of being your own producer, editor, commentator, you know, personality, whatever, you know. You just, sometimes you gotta do a little bit extra and you miss a lot of things. So what did I want to talk about? So yeah, sorry about that. I thought the message was over. Had something, so I just let it go a little bit longer. And I don't know if you guys heard that really clearly while the music was blasting all the way. But I do want to welcome you to the show and thank you for tuning in if you're here. What's it mean to be a Mexican and or a Mexican American? You know, those are two totally different things. And that video is about 5 years old. I am driving it now, so I can't pull it up to give you more information. It's a BBC documentary type video. If you want to look it up, but yeah, I mean, things have. Not really changed, but changed over the last 5 years, because that's when I really started noticing the change, when vocabulary started changing, you know, Latino and Latina turned into Latinx, you know, and the indigenous movement, I just noticed it really started taking fold. And, you know, for me personally, when I took the task upon me, I guess you could say, to kind of spearhead my own platform, to give myself a voice and my friends' voices that was unbiased and that was curated for people who are in the same or similar situations as myself, because, you know, a life of an immigrant, someone that illegally moves from one country to another, the life of a legal immigrant, one that legally comes from one country to the other, and the life of a child born from these immigrants, both legally and illegally, they're completely different cultures, completely different life situations. And, you know, I think that that's a big misunderstanding from a lot of the population, right? Because I guess when you're talking about illegal aliens, for example, you know, a lot of racist bigots like to pretty much put everything in a single pool, right? Group everything together and group everyone the same. They look at everyone the same, but you could have a family of maybe 3-4 illegal immigrants, but then all of them have children, you know, who are citizens at this point, who have their papers, who were born in this country legally and who consider themselves American in their own right. So, sorry, guy's a jackwagon. So, you know, there's all these different subcultures within, you know, the immigrant community, the Mexican communities, and so even the South American communities. And I don't know how I can kind of express that in a podcast, but I did have noticed that a lot of the Black Lives Matter indigenous movements, you know, they're kind of clashing, and you know, both sides have a claim, you know, and I want to kind of give the best reasoning from my point of view, from my end, kind of put things into consideration and think of a good solution going forward that will benefit both sides. Or if there's not going to be a solution, you know, let's me and anyone else listening to this affected by these kinds of things, let's come up with a solution for ourselves, for our future selves. Maybe we'll have to think of what lies ahead, you know. For example, I'm a DACA recipient. You know, there's a lot of talk that wants to, Trump and his administration wants to straight up end it, you know, and I haven't really been tuning in lately, so I do apologize. I need to read up on my DACA news, but, you know, if that were to end, then what else do we have here? You know, we've already, you know, wasted maybe the prime years of our lives working away into this economy and have nothing to show for it, you know? If they can just take it away from one moment to the next, say, hey, we're not giving you guys papers anymore, or adding all these restrictions, like just having to renew every year. You know, it's fucking annoying to have to renew every 2 years. You know, I'm dreading the possibility of having to do it every year. You know, and it's all these little things, you know, that I just can't do it. You know, if it was an easy process where you could just go online, enter in the form, do everything very simply, you know, not have to print out all these papers, you know, sometimes get a lawyer, you know, luckily I've been able to work through all the issues myself and get all my renewals done without any issues. But you know, I could easily see where someone less tech savvy could definitely run into problems, and even myself, I have ran into problems, and that's the bad part of this whole thing, because they already make it so difficult, you know, and they just want to add insult to injury. You know, you have to mail in all these forms. You have to mail them in the exact order. You have to get the payment the exact amount, or you just get rejected. And here was my problem. So in one of these years, I went online. I went through. I trusted someone's form, you know, and they had written a really good guide on a step-by-step guide on how to do your how to renew. The problem was that this website was made during the previous cycle, like when it first came out, so those instructions were correct, but for the old instructions. And the only thing that changed was that they raised a stupid price on us, you know, they wanted to charge us more, you know. And I don't know how much it was, $20, like something stupid. But what ended up happening was when I sent in my information, they just rejected it, you know. I had to wait however long it was, like 2 weeks or whatever for, and I did everything, mind you, overnight. I overnighted everything when I finished the paperwork, overnighted. When I got the first day, I got the letter, rejection letter, overnighted, you know, after I resubmitted and reprinted everything with the right amounts and everything, you know, because, oh man, they just make it such a hassle. I swear to God. And, all right, so I ended up, you know, getting it resolved. But it took some time, you know, and in the meantime, you know, it kind of effed my whole life over. You know, I had to, I got fired from a job. I basically had to work as an illegal immigrant for however long it took them to resolve the issue, which was several months, you know. And all of this was because I tried to take a shortcut instead of going to the website directly and looking through their dreaded, like, ugly design, outdated website. I decided to take the easy way out, and I looked up a website, I found it, and I didn't do my research. And it turned out that they were wrong on the website. And I had to pay for it, you know, and it really put things into perspective, you know. This whole thing is a charade for me, you know. I can imagine this thing is going well for me all I want, but if any little thing, if any little, you know, mistake, misdemeanor, you know, or just force of will by the almighty government, you know, if any of that can just take away all my privileges, everything I've worked for up until this point, what's the point of being a dreamer? You know, like, am I investing? You know, we are a resource. We are a big part of the economy and what allows all this privilege to happen, you know, and we don't get any of that. A lot of, like, you know, maybe you hear about successful stories here and there, but for the most part, Mexicans can't really, and a lot of, and any other minority can't really strive as a middle class American, because all those jobs and positions that are what grants you that privilege in life to be a middle class citizen are held up by nepotism and privileged individuals, you know. And you know, I've been working corporate for, you know, however effing long it's been, 10 years, whatever. And, you know, it's been the same pattern, you know, regardless of the company, you know, because I hear stories from my friends, co-workers, you know, and it's always the same. People are hired because of who they know, not what they know, you know. And us lower, you know, minorities aren't usually the recipients of those. I think in Utah, you know, a lot of the high-paying positions are upheld by Mormons, you know, and those Mormons assure 10% gets sent back into the church, you know. So I'm not surprised if a lot of Mormon business owners add that 10% into that salary, you know, prior to being hired. You know, they take into account, you know. I've never got any confirmation or heard of this, but I wouldn't be surprised, you know. Hey, come work for me. I know you're a Mormon. I'm a Mormon myself. I know how important tithings, that 10%, is to our religion. How about I just add that in, and maybe a little bit more, let's say 20%. Add that into what the base salary of what this job should be paying. And let's go ahead and get you a job here, you know. And all these other qualified minorities just never get a chance, or they're simply overlooked because the guy in charge already predetermined what kind of guy and or exactly who he wanted for that position. You know, and I don't blame him, you know, because I was in a managerial position when I was very young into my career. I really looked down this position, and it gave me a lot of experience early on that I cherish till this day. And with that, experience that, you know, I realized, you know, you want to, when you're in charge of a team, you want to work with certain people because you need to trust, you can only trust certain people to do certain things, you know, and you got to choose the right people, because I messed up by hiring a certain person, which really detrimented my ability to have good stats on my team, you know, for a while, until I ended up having to fire him. And that was a uncomfortable conversation in of itself. I can't even say that, but actually I'm here at In-N-Out. I was just driving around. I didn't really know, nothing sounds appetizing to me, to be honest, and that's the sad part. You know, I have to do a lot of fast food, but it gives me the opportunity to do these podcasts, because it really, I don't know, I can never work at it in otherwise. And when I'm just driving, just mic up, plug in, you know, and just ignore my phone for however long, just pay attention to the road and get these things done, you know. So I think I'm just gonna go ahead and roll with it while I do this while I go through the drive thru so you guys will know what I order from there. Just Fat Boy food, but luckily here they don't even ask for the name, so that's what Chick-fil-A always ruins these driveway podcasts. Hi, can I get the number one?
The number one?
Yes, ma'am. But can I have it with no onions, please? And then can I get the fries animal style?
Fries animal style, okay.
Yep. And can I just do a Coke?
Of course.
And that will be it. Yes, ma'am.
Are you doing that
your birthday? To go, please. Awesome, thank you. Ooh, there's a feral cat. Alright, let's pay for this food. Get going. So the car in front of me has a sticker that says, I love my pug. Aww. A pug boy. So yeah, I don't know. I think it's really effed up. Like, I don't see a positive future for me, even within my company. I just, you know, it just never seems to be getting better, you know. And I don't even know if I can't fix my problems at a local, personal level, I don't even know how you can start addressing these issues globally, nationally, you know. And that's kind of why, you know, I want to do more podcasts with more guests, and even if they have to be through Skype. And now it's even working to my benefit if I do them, you know. And it's a matter of just getting my personal stuff in order so I can have time set one or twice a week and just focus on that show and making it the best show it can be, and finding people that are willing to help me for free, obviously, until, you know, things come up. And you know, it's super hard to require something from anybody, you know, if you're not financially sustaining them. So that's, you know, I don't know, I, you know, I've gotten a lot of free help, and I certainly appreciate it. But it's not, you know, if I want this to be a full-time thing, you know, I got kind of got to treat it like a full-time thing, and that requires full-time production, you know, or some level of it, or kind of mitigate all the issues that comes with not having that high level of production. I think I have, with the purchase of a few peripherals, I think I've managed to work around a lot of the issues I was afraid about. And now with Skype, with Google Hangouts, with all these other things being such a big deal, I think it will be a lot easier, you know, to schedule these podcasts with these college professors all over the country, mostly the Midwest and California, who know a lot about Chicanoism, who know a lot about Mesoamerican history, who know a lot about these topics that people need to hear about, that people aren't having a platform to talk about, that really isn't being curated for the Mexican-American or the Dreamer, you know, and that's kind of something I want to change with my platform here. Hold on, I'm going to pay real quick for my food. Hello. Awesome, thank you. Sure. Awesome, have a good day, thank you. Thank you very much, Sarah. What's going on? People are dying or something? There's a lot of commotion going on around me. Ah, man. Looks like I've already been on this podcast for 27 minutes, which means my break is coming to an end, so I better get home and get back to work. Oh, man, I just miss having freedom, you know, these last couple days. When I called off, it was just such a relief, just not having to worry about work and just getting my some of the stuff out in my life in order while I was recovering from whatever the heck hit me. I don't think it was Corona, but, you know, I don't know shit about Corona. Anyways, I'm feeling good. I'm good. A lot of it could have just been my diets, you know, when you're eating this fast food, it's not good for anybody, you know, and I'm kind of trying to make a pact with Sunny Bosnak, for all of you who follow my YouTube channel, just go on a diet and maybe lose some weight here in the coming months, you know, but it goes back to me being able to get my life in order so I don't have to worry about it, you know, because it's so much easier, so much less difficult to just order a combo at In-N-Out with a soda instead of, you know, doing the lettuce wrap. You know, I want to enjoy my meal. Like, I don't want to just eat healthy. You know, my life's already shitty. I don't need to make it, you know, I don't know. It's hard to explain. Yeah, but I don't know. I tend to, oh shit, I'm using the door. Hello.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Are you sure that Coke and
Jackie can
have it for your birthday? Okay, perfect.
awesome. Have a good day. And off we went.
Off to the races.
Oh, man. I don't know. I'll be honest, guys. I don't know if anyone else is like this, but when I'm in a bad mood, when I'm in a depressed mood, I tend to overeat, and I tend to even seek out what the worst thing is for me. You know, like, I'll go to a Taco Bell or a restaurant, a rundown restaurant, knowing that it could potentially make me sick, and I just think, by just thinking, it maybe even does make me sick a little bit. And I don't know, it's just like a self-hatred, a self-loathing kind of thing. And there's another cop here making a quick push, you know. I don't know, something big's going on. Maybe I should chase them and see what's going on. That's a good idea to do as a Mexican. And you know, I do want to mention something as well. I think I've been slurring my words more than usual. You know, I accidentally hit my chin when I was trying. I was putting some things away over the last, like, how long ago was it? Like 3 days ago or whatever. And ever since then, I just noticed my speech has been a little bit off. So I hope I didn't break anything, you know, do any serious damage. But yeah, if you notice that, that's just why. Or maybe the braces in my mouth have been forming and changing things in the way that make it difficult for me to talk like I've been accustomed to, and I just need my tongue, train my tongue to speak with the new forming of everything. So yeah, I've always had really ugly teeth. Well, not really ugly teeth, but just a big gap in the front gap, and you know, it's always been something that's contributed to my low self-esteem. But yeah, you know, I hopefully I can just get over it, because I have been healthy in my life, I have been happy in my life. And I just want to get back to that point. And, you know, there's just a lot of things that that really are detrimental for me to, you know. And it might just be, for some people, it might just be excuses. But, you know, it's really, try going through life when you're stuck in a pool of molasses, I guess you could say. It's difficult, you know, it's hard, you know, but, you know, I like hard things. Let's see, hold on, I thought I saw what was going on here, but not really. You know, I'm gonna try to overcome my challenges. Gonna try and make a better YouTube channel, a better podcast, you know, and time will tell. You know, I might have, I don't know how much skills I've gained over the last year, 2 years or whatever, however long I've been doing this, but I'm sure I've learned something, you know. And I've had a lot of opportunities as well. I just haven't jumped on those opportunities, you know. And I need to be, you know, you guys know the saying. I know what. It's funny. I know what saying I want to say, but I just can't think of it right away. So let me think. Success. Let's see. Success is for those, or opportunity is when success, no, when, okay, so I don't know if it was opportunity or success comes when So opportunity or success, one of those two comes when luck and readiness meet or whatever. So I know I butchered that. That's not what I was thinking of. But essentially, the thinking goes, if you're ready, if you're practiced, if you're trained up, when you get lucky and the opportunity presents itself, you will be able to take advantage of said opportunity. And I'll be honest to say, you know, I've gotten lucky and have had opportunities, but unluckily, I just wasn't ready, you know, and maybe I'll have those same opportunities or similar opportunities in the future, but now I learned, you know, if I'm going to be reaching out to people, you know, I better hope that I'm ready in case they say yes, you know, because then I'm just going to look like a fucking dumbass. And I apologize for those pauses a little bit ago. Just realized there's like a bunch of undercovers going the opposite way from me, going towards where all those things were ringing earlier. All the police officers were going earlier when I was in the drive-thru. Wow, there's a big tree knocked out of its foundation. I don't know if they delivered it here or they, I don't know. It's crazy. I think it got delivered and they're gonna plant it in. It seems like a pretty new neighborhood. Oh man, what a great day. I feel better, you know. I asked for a late shift actually. I don't know if I'll get it, but I think it'll give me a better work-life balance and I'll be able to get things done and in the morning and get a paycheck at night. So we'll see how that goes. But anyways, I'm gonna go ahead and end this and focus on my way home. Y'all have a good day. Thank you for listening and bye-bye.